Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the Association for Conflict Resolution, ACR Conversations. My name is Nancy Flatters, President of ACR. Today my guest is Dr. Susan Raines, who amongst her other descriptions is also the editor of Conflict Resolution Quarterly, the Association for Conflict Resolution's ACR academic journal. Welcome, Dr. Raines.
Thank you, Nancy.
Dr. Raines, you're also a professor at Kennesaw University.
Yes, Kennesaw State University in Atlanta. It's Georgia's largest public university.
And so in taking on the editorship of the Quarterly, how does that fit with your academic work, and how do the two complement each other?
Well, publishing is part of an academic's job, the creation of new knowledge and the dissemination of new information that hopefully will help practitioners out in the field as they seek to improve their practice and learn new ways to engage with their clients and parties. So being an editor is just the next step. It's reading the work of others, helping review the work of others, and with the help of an editorial board, couldn't do it by myself, and then deciding what can we publish in our scarce number of pages that we have allotted. You know, our limited amount of pages, we want to publish the best work that gets submitted to us. So we're constantly vetting everything that gets sent to us. We're trying to make sure that what we publish is new information, that it's very helpful to theory or practice of conflict resolution in many contexts, domestic and international, and you know, all the different ways we practice. And so being an editor is helpful because it makes me read things outside of my own particular specialty, and it helps me keep abreast of the state of knowledge in practice and theory for conflict resolution. And it's definitely broadened my perspective and helped me realize that so many different subfields within conflict resolution don't really necessarily speak to each other enough. And it helps me make those connections and share those connections with others, because, you know, family mediators could be learning from environmental conflict resolution specialists, and ombudsmen can learn from, you know, family mediators. And there's just so much kind of cross-pollination that I get to see as an editor and try to promote those connections through our pages.
So when you're looking at submissions for publication, what are you looking for particularly then in relation to making sure that there's intersectionality amongst the dispute resolution field and the conflict resolution field, and emphasizing those crossovers about which you were speaking?
Yeah, that's a great question. So to get published in any journal like ours, like Conflict Resolution Quarterly, the key for any author is to show how their work builds on existing knowledge or contradicts existing knowledge. But it's important that we not reinvent the wheel all the time. So we don't want to publish an article that says what we already know. We really want to ask that every author do a thorough review of the existing literature to say, hey, this is the current state of knowledge in topic X, and now I've done some study or some research or some analysis that shows something new or something that contradicts a previous trend. And that way we can be constantly building and adding new information to this human stock of knowledge, rather than just reiterating things that have been published elsewhere or published within the pages of our own journal. So it's kind of like, you know, anytime you write an article on a specific topic and try to get it published, what you're basically doing is jumping into a conversation that's been going on, you know, with other authors and readers for a long time. And we want to make sure that we're not being redundant and adding something new and contributing something new. So that's the first key, is to make sure that authors who submit something to the journal or to any journal are familiar with what's been published out there. So you do a search on Google Scholar, or you can do a search on our own webpage. You can look to see what have we published in the past on family mediation or on conflict resolution in Uganda or whatever topic people are looking at, you can search by keywords. And that way you can build on what has been done before.
And are you looking then for articles which are very academic in nature? And in asking that, I'm wondering, what about articles which are based on, say, anecdotal experience, as it were, rather than, so perhaps someone is doing innovative work, but doesn't necessarily bases that on experience rather than on more on a literature search or a study or things like that. Does that fit in as well, or is that part of the profile of articles which might be considered for the quarterly?
Right. Well, good point. Well, one of the unique things about Conflict Resolution Quarterly is we focus on the intersection between theory and practice. So every article we publish should be something that's accessible and interesting to practitioners, and it shouldn't just be written at such a theoretical level or have so much statistical data that the average practitioner can't read it and make any sense of it or find it useful in any way. So we really want to make sure that it's not just academics talking to other academics. While that might be entertaining for us, it's not useful, not particularly. So this is a really unique characteristic of Conflict Resolution Quarterly. And because of that mission, we do accept pieces that have some anecdotal knowledge, but I'll tell you the key factor. We have the option of publishing something less than a full article, something called a practice note or a research note. And these are shorter articles that say, hey, you know, I have been trying a new technique in my practice, or I've seen something new in the work I'm doing, or a new strategy, a new, you know, way of thinking about something. And I want to share it with others. And in the future, you know, we should do some research into this, or we could look into this more with more depth. But at this point, I'm just sharing an idea for you to try. So it's this shorter article on research or practice. Now, those articles still have to reflect that you understand as an author what has come before, because we don't want you saying, hey, this is something new and interesting, and it turns out it's really something that's been done before and published before, and it's not new and interesting. But it doesn't have to be some huge research study where you've observed 200 mediations and gathered data. It can be something based on anecdotal evidence, or you could talk about a trend that you're seeing in your area of practice and what you base that upon. So it's a good question. We do a lot of kind of larger research studies that we publish, but we also publish case studies, and we publish observations or other things from authors, usually in the shorter format of a research note or a practice note.
So before I ask you how to enhance your writing to enhance publication, within what you've been saying, are there any other specific publishing opportunities you'd like to earmark for a person to advance their academic or their professional career?
Yes, I think it's really important to match the publication outlet, to your goals. So not everybody needs to publish in Conflict Resolution Quarterly, because to be honest, you know, advanced practitioners and academics and some other practitioners read it, but the users of mediation don't read it particularly. You know, parties getting a divorce or going through an accident injury malpractice case or something, they don't necessarily read that, or other kinds of folks. So it really is important to figure out what are your goals in publishing and then match those goals to the outlet. So if your goal is to expand your practice and to display your expertise in a way that helps improve your reputation, then you might actually want to look at publishing in a professional newsletter. So a Bar Association newsletter, or a Psychologist Association newsletter, or a newsletter for single parents, or, you know, whatever that your specialty is. You might want to really say, hey, you know, let's share some information about ADR or conflict resolution skills to folks who then might somehow use my service. So I'm establishing myself as an expert and really marketing at the same time my practice. That could be through newsletters. It could be through newspaper articles in a local paper. It could be through speaking engagement to the Lions Club or other things. So that's a really important thing. We also have, I want to promote AC Resolution Magazine, which is an outlet for shorter pieces that would be more appropriate if an author wants to share a new technique or a new idea, but it's not really a research article or it's a shorter piece, because AC Resolution can publish articles that might be 1,000 words to maybe 3,000 words. So a shorter piece, and that's going to be read primarily by other practitioners, but across practice areas. And that's something that you could, you know, print off copies and have that on your coffee table in your office, and that shows that you've published an AC Resolution Magazine, which is a lovely, you know, publication. So if you're an academic and you need to get tenure and promotion, then publishing in magazines and newsletters is helpful to communicate ideas to people who might use them, but it's not going to be considered acceptable for the purposes of tenure and promotion within a university. So those folks, academics, are going to need to publish in peer-reviewed journals like Conflict Resolution Quarterly or Negotiation Journal or Family Conciliation Courts Review, some of those journals. So it's very important just to match what your goals are to what your outlet is. If you want to self-publish a book, for example, and have that, you know, to share with colleagues or others, you might find that that's a helpful outlet for you. If you want to earn money from the publication of a book and you think you have an idea that could really sell, like Getting to Yes or The Promise of Mediation, these are conflict resolution and negotiation books that sold and earned money for their authors because they sold enough copies. If that's, you know, something you're looking at, then you want to go to a mainstream publisher like Wiley or Penguin or Roman and Littlefield, one of these main publishers. And then you're kind of making a pitch. You're sending them a book proposal in the format they require, and you're saying, hey, I'd like to write this book and have you publish it, and then you earn some percentage of royalties. So, again, it's really important for people to think about what are the reasons why I want to publish, what's my skill set and my patience level. Writing a book is going to take, you know, 2 to 3 to 4 years from the time you get the book proposal written and accepted and then write the book and publish it, so that you have to have a lot of stamina for that. And versus, you know, something that kind of promotes your practice through newsletters or magazines. So it's very important to make that match.
And Wiley is the publisher of the Quarterly, in addition to the other publications that they have?
Yes, and Josie Bass is a division within John Wiley & Sons. John Wiley & Sons is the world's second largest publishing house, and they have a lot of divisions within them, or sections, and one of them, because they've merged a lot with other organizations, and they have bought and acquired Josie Bass, which was historically has been the largest publisher of conflict resolution-related works and ADR-related works. So it's still possible to publish in Josie Bass, which is actually part of Wiley. So it's important to kind of look at the books you're reading and say, who's publishing these books? Because that's probably shows me the list of publishers I might approach if I want to write a book and get it published. Because not every publisher publishes conflict resolution or ADR books.
Now, what about writing? What should a writer be thinking about in order to enhance writing in order to have work accepted for publication?
Now we get to the hard part, the actual writing, right? So it's important to look at other publications, what has been published by the particular outlet you're targeting. So you look at AC Resolution Magazine and look at the format, and you look at the length, and you look at the style of the things they publish, or Conflict Resolution Quarterly, or books by Josie Bass. So you're looking at the outlet you're targeting, and you start off, you don't write something and then change its format later. You actually write in the format with the audience in mind, and that will vastly increase your chances of getting published. Most people already have some burning idea that they want to investigate, or they want to share, or a passion around some idea that they really want to convey to others, and that's why they want to write. If someone wants to write, but they haven't figured out what they want to write about, then the questions we ask are, what is the information that I wish I knew that would help me be a better mediator, ombudsman, you know, intervener, et cetera? Or what is the information that I wish the general public knew about topic X and that I can convey to them? So you got to start there, and then that will lead you to the kind of questions that you might focus on for your writing. And then everybody writes differently. Some people say that they want to, you know, kind of do it like a workout where they schedule 1 hour a day to where they sit down and write. There are other people like me who find that frustrating because I feel like I'm just getting into it and it's a very focused activity. And then after that hour, I've got to stop and put it aside and go do other things. So I try to write where I can have big chunks of time, 5 or 6 or 7 hours, where I can just sit and write and not be interrupted for the most part. So everybody does this differently. But the important thing is to not put it down for a long period of time because you lose momentum. The other thing to remember is that when you submit your work for possible publication, you have to be super open to the feedback you're going to get, and it is painful. So you might get an editor like me or a publisher like, you know, Josie Bass that says, hey, you know, there's some good stuff here, but we really want you to change XYZ, or we don't like this part about it. You need to go make these changes. And it's a hard thing to have your work criticized like that, but every single published author gets their work criticized and they make changes in order to get it published. And I don't mean compromising on the core elements of the work, but I mean usually it could be things about the writing quality. It could be unanswered questions that you kind of left hanging. They want you to address various things. So that's a really important part. When you get the feedback that says, go change XYZ, you need to kind of take a deep breath, absorb that, and don't take it personally. This is just a normal part of the process.
And then I take it in respect to then the nuts and bolts of writing that those looking to be published need to follow. You mentioned format, and I take it when they submit their work, just such things as grammar, spelling, those kinds of things are important. And does that distract an editor if there are errors about simple things like that?
Yes, I'll tell you what will happen. An editor will get a few sentences into your work, and if they're finding typos and they're finding punctuation errors, grammatical errors, they'll just stop reading. They'll reject it and send it back to you. That's how critical that is, because we assume that everyone's going to write grammatically, clearly, appropriately. If that's something, and yes, we all make errors and typos and that kind of thing, so it's very important to have someone else who has good writing skills to kind of copy edit your work before, proofread your work before it goes for review by a journal or an editor or publisher. And I even have maybe more than one person do that, because it's very hard for us to proofread our own work because we know what's supposed to be there and we tend to see that even if it's not actually there. So absolutely. And if English isn't one's first language, it's important to partner with a native English speaker or have someone who's really a native English speaker read it with that lens, because it also is, there's a lot of differences in sentence structure and phrasing and other things that will come across and be confusing and cause problems. So it's very important to make sure that all of that, just kind of what I call copy editing and proofreading, is done well before it goes out for review, because you won't even get the substance of your work examined if the format and the grammar and writing isn't up to snuff.
And so that is an aspect of nuts and bolts. Are there any others that you'd like to earmark so that when a person is writing an article they hope to submit, they need to be aware about or be cognizant of?
I think just keeping in mind from the beginning, who's your audience? What are they interested in? How does this particular outlet I'm targeting like to have articles written in terms of format, in terms of length? For example, our typical research article or full article is about 7,500 words. Sometimes people submit something that's 12,000 words or 14,000 words, and it may be phenomenal, but it's not what we publish. So if you want to publish a 14,000-word article, you need to go find a journal that does that, but that's not what we do. So it's very important to make sure that you're keeping that in mind as you're writing, and then most people, most authors do write their work and then go back, read it, edit it, change it, you know, till they feel like it's ready and send it out. On the other hand, I do believe there's a home for every article or a home for every writing. You just have to find the right one. So if you get turned down by a particular outlet, that doesn't mean you throw the work away. It means you take their comments into consideration, make any changes you deem appropriate based on their comments and your own philosophy toward the article, and then you go and search out another outlet that you could send it to and try again. Even very accomplished authors get rejected. I have people, we have what we call a blind peer review process. So we take submissions and we take the name of the author off the submission. We send it to reviewers who specialize in that topic, and they then review it and make comments and advise me as editor, should it be published or not published. And there are times someone's work gets rejected, and I'll get an email from a well-known author that says, "Don't you know who I am?" And I say, "Well, yes, I do, and I'm so terribly sorry, because the work didn't make it through the peer review process." And it's part of the integrity of keeping your journal's reputation stellar is that we don't publish based on who you are. We publish based on the quality of what you've written. And so everybody gets rejected is what I'm trying to convey. Even really well-known, experienced authors still get rejected. So you've got to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and try again at another place. So persistence is probably the number one characteristic of a successfully published author.
You've certainly given a lot of thoughtful comments and tips, things to watch out for. In the last few minutes, Dr. Raines, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Only that I want to encourage people, if you feel like there's something you want to share with others through writing and publication, don't be shy about it. Do it. And it's a learning process that you'll every time you write something, you'll learn. Every time you get feedback on it, you'll learn. So don't be intimidated. Don't be daunted. Feel free to email an author or another author who's published in the outlet you're shooting for. Ask them for tips. Email the editor or publisher. Ask them for advice on the front end of your process so that you can write the best article and have the best chance of getting published, get the best fit with the outlet you're seeking. So don't be shy about getting advice and input from those who have that expertise all along the way in the process.
I want to thank you for all of the thoughts you've given today, the encouragement that you've given, steps along the way to ensure that you can increase publishing opportunities. And Dr. Raines, I'd like to thank you for this ACR conversation.
Thanks. Oh, Nancy, can I add one more plug?
Yes,
next year's
please.
Conference in Baltimore. Okay. In Baltimore next year, which is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal conference, I believe September 28th through October 1st, we're going to have a writer's workshop. And that's a place where people who want to publish can come, and we're going to have editors and publishers available for authors to meet with. We're going to do some speed dating between authors and publishers and editors, where you can make your pitch and get feedback from potential publication outlets. And we're going to have successfully published authors there offering tips. And so we're asking people to bring your ideas. If you have a manuscript or you have an abstract or you have something you want to get feedback on, and you want to form a writing group with other aspiring writers to kind of encourage each other along the way, that's what we're going to be doing. So make plans to go to Baltimore and join us for our writer's workshop.
And that's going to be at the Lord Baltimore Hotel. And that sounds like a very comprehensive session. And I'm sure that people will want to attend that who really want to know more about the nuts and bolts, create working groups, and enhance their opportunities for publishing. So today my guest, Dr. Susan Raines, Professor of Conflict Management at Kennesaw University and Editor-in-Chief of ACR's Conflict Resolution Quarterly, known by its acronym CRQ. Thank you so much, Dr. Raines.
Thank you, Nancy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.